You're listening to Not So Live from Asteroid G, brought to you in glorious 8-bit graphics. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
And I'm Mike the Ghoul, going to talk some video games.
This week we are going to be looking at a list of the top 10 NES games. Now, we've done lists in the past, and we always make the caveat that A, we're not shilling for any of the games, and B, right. We're not shilling from the site that we got this list from. The list this week comes to us from Nintendo Life, was where we found it. There were a few of these that I found out there. IGN had one, GameStop, whatever else you're thinking of. I went with the Nintendo Life one because we were specifically talking NES games, and I also wanted to see how big of a shill they would be for a Nintendo's own products. And it's kind of an even split, 50-50.
Yeah, definitely surprising. But it's fair. It's a fair list.
Like, it's a fair list.
One game on here I haven't played. But I cannot disagree with any of the other nine being in here in any order.
For the most part. I think we will have some honorable mentions that you and I want to discuss. And right, there are some other things. But the biggest caveat I have is for the first game. And this is where you see the bias of Nintendo Life come out. Because number 10 is Tetris. And it's not the version most people might think of. It's not the Tengen version, which was technically a pirate game, even though it was released and sold on shelves for many, many moons. It is the Nintendo version, which is inferior to Tengen's.
Yeah, disagree wholeheartedly with the choice of version. Agree that this game in general should be in a top 10, probably of any video game list, not even just Nintendo. Tetris, I would put up there with, like, you know, the realm of Pong, with, like, how it revolutionized what a video game was. Like, this is some mind-blowing shit when Tetris first came out, and it has to be the Tengen version. Don't even try to talk to me on this one.
Well, like, if you're talking Game Boy games, the Nintendo version is the only version of Tetris that's on there. And that would be fair. And it's not that the NES version of Tetris from Nintendo is bad. It's just that when you compare it to the Tengen version is just absolutely superior in every way. More modes, better graphics, nicer sound. The play style feels more comfortable. I have both, and I prefer the Tengen version just because if you're going to play Tetris, that's the mode to play on the NES.
It felt like the intended way to play the game a little bit more than the Nintendo one. Like, it was fine. It had some good gameplay, like you said. The music, though, in Tengen, I thought was better. And there's just a lot of things about it that just felt more like what I remember playing Tetris was as a kid. Not the Nintendo one, this one.
Yeah. Well, the Nintendo one is safe. It feels very safe, like a very basic game. The Tengen one, like, actually tried to do some things that I don't think we've seen in a lot of other Tetris modes, and I would honestly consider it the better version of Tetris in general until you start getting into things like the Grandmaster and so forth over in, like, arcades and all that, you know? So, no. Tetris absolutely deserves to be on the list because you don't get... There might have been other puzzle games that did a well that you drop stuff into before this, but Tetris is the one that popularized it, and you don't get games like my honorable mention, Dr. Mario or the Puyo games or anything like that without Tetris.
Yeah, any kind of, like, I mean, even to a degree, take what Candy Crush is. Like, the idea of Candy Crush, which everybody knows now, came from what Tetris is.
You have to have Tetris to get to all those games. It is there, and if you're going to have a list of the NES games, this was one of the most successful sellers. It makes sense. The second one is another one I have a caveat for. Not that I think the game is bad, and it is, like, formative for the console. It was the first, like, true scrolling platform game. It introduced the concept of ratchet scrolling and other stuff, and it came from basically a bones of single screen arcade games moving into this. That's impressive. I do think Super Mario Brothers, though, is beaten by Super Mario Brothers 2 or, like, Doki Doki Panic or whatever you want to call it over in Japan. Like, I think, like, this game is good and it had its moment. I don't know that I would put it above Super Mario Brothers 2.
I hear you.
No, but the game has so many interesting features, not all of which necessarily ever showed up again. Like, picking up items and throwing them in that way is different in any other Mario game. You don't stomp on enemies and actually kill them immediately, which is different from every other Mario game. You can see the bones of Doki Doki Panic in Super Mario Bros. 2, or if you want to be, like, really nerdy, Super Mario USA. But at the same time, some of the behaviors of those characters have lasted. Luigi with his weird, like, long jump. Princess and her float, Toad and his ability to carry really fast. Like, those characters are defined by Mario 2 over Mario. What Mario Brothers did was show us how a platforming game could work. Mario Brothers 2 refined it to a point where then when Mario Brothers 3 came along, it was perfection.
I think the fact that you would put Mario Brothers 1 above Mario Brothers 2 just on a list is what gave birth to what Mario 2 could be. The platforming aspect is still alive in games and really gave birth to a lot of games. Like Castlevania even came out of the bones of Mario Brothers, and I know you love that franchise. Metroid, a favorite of mine, came out of the bones of what Mario brought to you. So I think nostalgically is kind of why this list has Super Mario Brothers above Mario Brothers 2. I hear what you're saying with how it really kind of defined what some of these characters were into what we know they even are today. Like, the lasting power of what Peach is and what Toad is and what Luigi is still what they are in games today because of Mario 2. And I agree with that wholeheartedly. But I guess why you would put one above two on a list like this is the impact of the game for what it was. Maybe just my thought there.
I suppose. I mean, I see why Nintendo has it on there. And I mean, this is going back to it's Nintendo Life. They're like, who know? I'm not sure exactly who runs that website and how big of shills they are for Nintendo itself, besides the fact that it has their name right on it. Like, it's
the fact they can have the name at all means that they're at least, if not a paid endorsement, they're at least allowed to, which says something.
So, like, it could have been one of those things where some editor was like, you can't put Mario 2 above Mario. Mario's the important one. I don't know. It's weird to me no matter what. But still, they're both fun games. I guess that's the end of the day.
Mario Brothers, even still to this day, like, I watch a lot of Mario Maker on YouTube, like people that do that kind of stuff, like, you know, other content creators. And it's an entertaining watch to this day. I remember the music from Mario 1, like the dungeon music, the Bowser Castle music is still one of my most favorite for any game. And Mario 2 has some good music as well. But maybe the fact Mario 2 took so many liberties and sometimes, you know, called Mario Brothers on acid, the fever dream that that game was, is why some people would put it above Mario Brothers 1, but I hear what you're saying, and I think to a degree you are correct that it should probably be above it overall in the list, but I get it's Nintendo. We got to have Mario Brothers on here somewhere.
I guess. Kirby's Adventure is an interesting choice.
It's fine.
Well, it's... Okay, so this is another one of those, like, formative games. It's one of the largest, per memory, games ever released for the NES. It came out near the end of the NES's tenure. It was the second game in the Kirby series after Kirby's Dream Land, like full Kirby platforming games. And this is the one, not Dream Land, then not Dream Land 2, which came out after, but Adventure, that defined everything we accept for in a Kirby game. Not just the suck and float that is basically his entire moveset, but like stealing powers. It's true. It's what it is.
I've never heard it called the suck and float, but my God, that is exactly what he is, isn't it?
You go down to a street corner, you're like, hey, how much is it for a suck and float over here? But no, it's
Kirby's it's one there. Milkshake drop over there, or it's one tomato you can pick up over there. Like, I mean,
Kirby's sitting there going, it's $5. No, it's I'm editing that out. But no, but no, it's like it's this thing of like everything that you think of for the powers and how it works and what the levels would be like and all the secrets and everything that comes in Kirby's Adventure. I absolutely agree with that. I don't know. It's a fine game. I try and get into it, and I'm like, it's fine.
I feel like this is another one of those, like, Kirby is one of those, you know, characters of the franchise. Like, they're synonymous with Nintendo as well. Yep. You could have picked really not any Kirby game. You had a limited choice of the ones that actually came out on the NES this was near the end of the NES's lifetime.
Pretty much it. Yeah. For then the NES.
One of the better graphic games, I suppose, you know, if they really got a lot out of 8-bits in these kind of games, like the very raw early Nintendo with, you know, the pixels and everything, it was refined a bit with the Kirby franchise near the end. So, but to your point, I mean, you could put Kirby Dream Land on here and I'd be just as fine with it.
If it was on the NES.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. And that's the only reason why I think that Kirby's Adventure is on here as opposed to any of the other games in the series, is this is the only true Kirby game on the NES, because everything else was Game Boy or Super Nintendo or any of the later ones. So, like, if you want Kirby on the list, then this is the one to put on there. I just question whether or not you need Kirby on this list when this was his only NES. Yes, it's formative. Yes, it makes the power-ups. does that make it a better game than, say, some of our other honorable mentions we were going to get to, like Dr. Mario or River City Ransom or Double Even Dragon Metroid. 2? Yeah, right.
Even Metroid.
Right? Metroid's I'd rather not on see this Samus list. Than yeah. Kirby. And I know Metroid's, like, the original Metroid's kind of an old game, and there are people that aren't huge fans of it, but you don't get Super Metroid without Metroid. If we're putting Kirby's Adventure on here because you don't get Dream Land 2 without Adventure, then the same reasoning applies, and it feels a little weird.
Yeah, got to agree with that. And when we go over the honorable mentions, we'll definitely hit on that. But, I mean, it's fine. Kirby, it's a choice. It's fine.
Now, the one I don't debate with is if you're going to have a Castlevania game on here, Castlevania 3 Dracula's Curse is the one to put on.
Yeah, like I said, I'm going to defer to you quite a bit on this one. I never actually played this. I played Castlevania 1. Love that game. It's a great platformer.
It is.
Played a little bit of Castlevania 2, but never got to the third one. I think by the time that came out, I'd already moved on to the Super Nintendo.
So there are upsides and downsides to this game, as the resident Castlevania expert. the upside of this game is that it takes everything that made the first game cool and amplifies it. More heroes, more weapons, more to do, more levels, more ways to explore. It's a massive game for an NES title. It's amazing.
Okay.
And it didn't and the thing is, it didn't actually have to even be the last one that we got. Konami put this out, and then soon after they had out TMNT, the original NES game, which you notice is not on this list because it's not great. It was great for the time. It was a huge seller. And then afterwards, everyone's like, did we really like this game? But, like, in comparison to TMNT 2, the arcade game, another game I would put on here, this original TMNT isn't great, but it sold like gangbusters because it was decently playable, decent to look at, and had the TMNT name on it right when everything was blowing up for that franchise. And so they looked at that, and they were sitting there going, we could make more Castlevania games. This is literally what they thought. Or we could have that team make more TMNT games. And that was what they did.
My anxiety as a child started on the fucking water level for TMNT.
Everyone's, so
like, Jesus Christ, dude. Yeah. I still see that in my nightmares.
No, that is one of the worst levels ever designed by God or man. It is terrible. Castlevania 3 is kind of that way, too. It is the embodiment of Nintendo hard. Because you can get through the first couple levels, and it's fine. And then you get to some level later, like the ghost ship or the battle with the three fiends at the end of one of the levels, and you're just sitting there going, I can't fucking get through this. What the fuck are you guys expecting? They're expecting pixel-perfect gameplay every time, so if you're going to get through it, you've got to get through it. And watching the game be played by speedrunners is amazing. Mm-hmm. I say the same thing for Castlevania 1. I'm not, even though I'm an expert at these, I'm not the kind of person who has actually managed to get through any of these games on the NES. But I absolutely think if you want a Castlevania game on this one, this is the one to do because it is a pretty good-sounding, fantastic game that beats the ever-loving shit out of you.
I like games that are punishing and rewarding, so that doesn't surprise me that you would describe the Castlevania game that way. I'm sad a little bit that I never got a chance to play this one.
I think punishing and rewarding describes just about every game on this list except for maybe Tetris, Kirby's Adventure, and the top slot that we won't spoil yet. But it definitely describes this next one, Punch-Out.
Yeah, I was curious. Was this just Punch-Out, or was this Mike Tyson's Punch-Out?
Well, that's the thing. They had it listed as Punch-Out with Mr. Dream, but that's the same exact damn game, except for they changed the sprites on Mike Tyson to some other dude and had him fight exactly the same way. There's no difference. There is a different Punch-Out game on the NES. There was a I think it's called Gold Cartridge. It was like a demo version that had slightly different fights and a shorter playthrough. I was curious about this. I looked into a lot of Punch-Out. I thought about reviewing it for the website, and then I realized I'm so crap at them that I wouldn't have anything valuable to say about the franchise.
I loved Super Punch-Out. Yeah. Super Punch-Out was so much fun on the SNES.
So, but as far as NES games are concerned, the only official title was Punch-Out, with or without Mike Tyson. And this one is a brutal game. I had friends who played this game for hours, and they could get through Bald Bull 1, and maybe past the hideous Indian stereotype character afterwards, but they were always stopped at a certain point, and they were never able to get through the second circuit. So, like, this game is cruel.
It's very it, like we said, punishing and rewarding. Mm-hmm. Like when you get through ball, you know, ball one, it's like, oh, here we go. And then, you know, you go through Don Flamingo, and then Don Flamingo 2 comes around and he just like whoops your ass because he's so much harder. And then you get through him, and then you run into another damage check with, like, you know, Mr. Sandman. Like, this game punishes you at every turn, and all of the enemies had different patterns. Yep. But if you figured the patterns out, you could make it work, and then you could play this game with your feet. Like, speedrunners are crazy with this game.
Yes. Oh yeah. They can blind play the game.
Yeah. It's insane how much has been broken in this game over the years. But when it first came out and you were playing this as a kid, like you said, I used to play this game with friends, and we'd switch off and trade the controllers back and forth. We'd try to beat the next guy, you know, write down the code to be able to come back and not have to fight through the fights again. Like, the game was great to play with a group of friends for a one-player game, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah. It is. It's a lot of fun to play. It's a lot of fun to watch. At least in the early going, you'll get to a point, and I think my point was way early. I think Piston to Honda usually stopped me. But there was a point where you're sitting going, I am not good enough at this game, and I don't have the dedication to memorize every pattern. I just don't.
Game, it was a fun game to play. I liked it. I agree with it being on this list. I like Punch Out quite a bit.
Now, this one is a contentious one for me, not because I think, like, it's a bad game. I think it's a great game. Me, personally, this was my true entry into the franchise, so I think maybe I have a little bit of rose-colored glasses for it. I would put Mega Man 3 higher than Mega Man 2, although not on this list. I'm interested in your thoughts about it, but I love Mega Man 3.
I'm kind of with you. Like, I remember playing both of them, Mega Man 2 and Mega Man 3, and liking both of them. But when I have a vision of what I played Mega Man in my head as a kid, it was Mega Man 3. Mm-hmm. It felt like it was a game that took what 2 did and improved upon it and made it better. It just felt like a more complete game to me.
Well, and 2 is interesting because they didn't, we will cover this more in a second, but they didn't expect to make a game after 2. 1 didn't do well enough so that when they made 2, they'd made under agreement with Capcom that they'd make it on the side and just make it, like, for themselves. And so they put everything they had into that game. And then when it came to Mega Man 3, they were surprised, like, oh, we're making another one? Well, now it's a rush job. So for a rush job, it's brilliantly balanced. I know people who complain about, like, the Doc Robot stages being way too hard. And, like, the end game then feeling kind of tacked on afterwards. And, I mean, those are fair criticisms, but those are also fair criticisms from most of the game in the games in the series. I think there's a lot to love about Mega Man. It's weird. It's new controls. It's different kind of weakness order where it's got 2 circles instead of the 1 big one. All the weird ideas they threw in, like the Doc Robot stages. I think Mega Man 3 has all the cool ideas and fleshes out what Mega Man 2 was.
Yeah, I hear you there. And I think Mega Man 2, and we'll cover it more when we get there, I think it had the better Wily stages, to your point. Like, the Mega Man 3, like, the sliding, the music in Mega Man 3, I think, was a little bit better than Mega Man 2. I think Mega Man 3 gave you more of his relationship with Zero, I think his name was, the red Proto character.
Zero is the Mega Man X character.
Okay, so what was his name?
Proto Man,
thank you. So maybe, like, the fact that, like, that story is in there kind of gave you, like, a little side story that you didn't get in Mega Man 2. I mean, but I like Mega Man 3 as a game overall. I thought the powers were cool that you got from the robots. The robot refights were fun. It was a good game.
And let's be honest. When you're a kid, you're not making it past the Robot Master stages. So, no. Like, of the two, if most of what you saw that game was the Robot Master stages, Mega Man 3 had the cooler stages.
Right. Agreed.
Yeah. So Contra is on this list. The original Contra, which I honestly think to this day is the best Contra. I don't debate it here. I don't debate having it at number 4 on this list. I think all about that is fair and correct. I just think that if you're doing Contra, you have to put the star next to its placement on here with 30 lives.
That's a game that punishes you as well, right?
Yes, like, I don't think Konami's you can make mean.
It through. I couldn't make it through. First stage was fine. Like, you'd maybe get through there with 1 or 2 deaths or whatever. But when you go from side scrolling to front scrolling in the next stage, like, I definitely died so many times until I figured out that there was a 30-man code.
Yeah.
Like, you are not making it through this game as a kid with 5 lives. You're crazy.
No. The game was designed for the Konami code, and it was. What's cruel about it, and I think the reason why Super C doesn't show up on this list, the sequel, is because it only had the 10-man code. And it was just as punishingly brutal, but Konami didn't want to have you, like, have a chance.
Contra really feels like a franchise that, like, you know, does not give a fuck what you think.
No, it doesn't.
They really just like to kill you at every turn. But the first game is my gold standard as well. I agree. Like, I played that so much as a kid. You know, there's been parodies of Contra 1 done on shows like Robot Chicken that's done very well, which are hilarious. Like, my wife and I have an inside joke about that to this day. Like, Contra is a great game. It deserves to be on this list. And like you said, it's got to be the first one. Like, all the other ones I've played, they're fine. Super C is great. There's some, you know, fun Contras, you know, later on, but they never really compared to how good the first one was.
They add more, but they don't really change the formula drastically at all. I think the closest that came to matching or beating Contra was Hardcore on the Genesis with its four characters and really creative stages. But even then, at, like, end of the day, like, especially in the US version, it just didn't compare. If you got the Japanese version, then you actually got health bars. Whereas in the US version, you still got fucked with one hit, one die. So, yeah.
Punishing.
The Legend of Zelda is on here, and I don't know that I'd put this on here over Metroid. I'll be honest with you. This is the point where I'm divisive on this, because I like what the original Legend of Zelda did, and it's very formative for the Metroidvania genre as a whole. Like, yes, it's a top-down game, but all of those things that you think of as conventions of the Metroidvania genre are here. And it was developed at the same time as Metroid. But I gotta be honest with you, I don't really feel like Zelda found its feet until the third game on the SNES.
I agree with you 100%. I think that, again, there's some nostalgia factor going into, like, putting this on there. Like, you know, you had to put Zelda on here, and you know what? You sure as shit couldn't put Zelda 2 on here. Like, that game was a hell of a brutal game.
Oh, it was.
And you can't put Link to the Past on here, which I agree with. That is really where you get, like, what you know Link as
Zelda
today.
It's Zelda refined.
Yeah, it takes what one did and gave you the bones of and made it, like, this is what one could have been 10 years ago. And it's a fantastic game. It's, you know, probably in my top three of all time, you know, for sure. So I get putting Zelda on this list. Three is a little high for me. I would put Metroid on this list again. I don't know if I would put Metroid above Zelda. I think three's fine. It deserves to be on the list, but I hear what you're saying. And I don't know. Curious, I suppose.
I think some of the other games that are on this list that I like better, I would have above Zelda as well, too. Castlevania 3, Mega Man 3, maybe even Punch-Out, I'd put above this Zelda game. Because, especially with what came afterwards, and maybe that's the problem I'm having, is I'm reviewing it from the perspective of what came after. This game feels very raw. Like Metroid does.
I'm thinking about it right now, even, you're right, like, even the gameplay in this just feels a little janky, you know, the turnarounds don't always work, you gotta, like, stab and twist and turn, and bombs are broken, you don't have to be standing near things to blow them up, like, there's some busted stuff in there, a game that really defined that Metroidvania, like you said, like, was pretty busted, but I mean, you're going to put a Zelda on here. I guess, you know, you had to put this one.
I mean, but that's also the thing of when you look at the list, and we'll get to the next one in a second, but, like, there's no RPGs on this list.
You can only do so much with 8-bit, so I get it. But I get
that the NES was not the haven for RPGs that the Super Nintendo was, but when you have, like, formative titles like Final Fantasy and all four Dragon Warriors for the NES, like, I'm not a huge fan of number two. Number two's imbalanced on that series, but one or three not being on the top 10 of this list is a travesty, in my opinion. Like, and I'm not even a big Dragon Warrior fan. I just understand what the Dragon Warrior series is to Nintendo players. Like, that's really weird to me that neither of those are on this list at all.
Like, it's funny you mentioned that too. Yeah. Like, I on my Switch within the last, like, couple years, I downloaded, like, the reskin rebooting of the original Dragon Warrior and played through it.
Yep.
So, like, it's a great game, and that deserves to be on here. You're right, man. Now I'm getting a little mad that Zelda's on here and some of these other ones aren't on here.
See what I'm saying?
You're triggering me a little bit. You're right, though. Like, games like that inherently were probably a little bit better. And, you know, my love for Final Fantasy, I mean, we could discuss that one, that we play that damn game together.
We do.
So it deserves to be on here, you know, for the longevity of what that franchise gave us, you know, through our childhoods and young adulthoods and middling adults now. Like, I mean, there's a whole genre left off this list, to your point, and I didn't mm-hmm. realize until you kind of brought it up. I mean, I guess you could say The Legend of Zelda is an RPG to a degree, sure, but there's
well, and I'm more frustrated now. If we had the list back further, I think they actually technically had 50 entries on this, but I was not doing 50 entries for a podcast. No, the top 10 was the important bit. I'm sure if we dug back far enough, we'd find some of those games, but at the same time, those are classics. You want all of these games on here? You want Super Mario Bros. 1 on the top 10, but you don't want Dragon Warrior 3 or Final Fantasy 1? That's... Really? That's a bold statement right there, Cotton.
It's a Nintendo choice, right? is what that feels like.
It's exactly right. Those were not Nintendo-made games. Those were third-party games, and if you're going to have third-party games on here, you do Capcom and Konami. I see how it is.
That's a high five, you know, kind of slipping you a 20 around the corner, it feels like now.
this feels like editorial influence. But Mega Man 2. We'll cover the second game on this list before we get to the top one. I'm sure the top one is not going to be a surprise to anyone, and honestly, of all the ones on this list, it's the one that I don't debate in the slightest. But number two is Mega Man 2. And it is the improved version of Mega Man. When you think of Mega Man, you don't think of Mega Man 1, even though it came first. All of the series refinements happened in Mega Man 2. This was the passion project for the team. As we said, they didn't think they were even going to make a second one because the first one did not sell well. Because it's kind of rough. But they put everything they could think of into this game to make it the best it could. It's not balanced. You can feel that it's not balanced, because fucking Metal Blade is god mode in that game.
Metal Blade and Charged Heat Beam just destroy everything.
Destroy everything. It's so dumb.
But wait, no, it's important. The bubble kills the alien at the end that you don't use the entire fucking game. What is this balance game? I've never used at all kills this thing in four hits. What?
Yeah, no, it's really imbalanced, and you can feel the fact that they just kind of put it together, slapped it out there, played it amongst themselves, and then shipped it, and suddenly it was a massive hit, and everyone was like, wait, we have to make more of these now? say what? But it is a great game. As we said, I like Mega Man 3 more because it feels more refined. Even if Mega Man 2 has all the really cool ideas first thrown into it. You don't get Metal Blade in Mega Man 3 because they sat there going, well, we kind of fucked up on that.
they added what? There were 6 robots in the first one. Was it up to 8? They gave us 8, right?
Yep.
So they added 2 more powers, and I think that's where they realized, oh, wait, we got to balance this a little bit more. because we made shit that overpowers things because we added 2 more power-ups in this game.
Yeah, like the first one had a bunch of crap that you probably didn't care about. Like, who gives a shit about the bombs or fucking Gutsman lift a brick? Those are terrible powers. Those are like the Guts. I think I was going through and like listing all the powers on my reviews of the Mega Man series for a while, and Gutsman's lift a brick is the single worst power in the franchise. You can only lift bricks when there's bricks for you to lift, and then when you run out of them, the power is useless. What the shit is that? But like, it's not that Mega Man 2 is much better. Flash Topper's fine, but runs out too fast and can't even kill the one boss that's weak against it. And who gives a shit about Leaf Shield? Like, really? Really?
It helps. Leaf Shield, to its credit, does help a little bit in the air stage with the things that drop around you. Put the Leaf Shield around you and when the bird tries to bomb you with the eggs, it does help. So it has its uses. But, I mean, you're right. Like, the really niche things in this game for powers, when you could just, like you said, use Metal Blade and melt everything in front
of you. And everything dropped weapon energy so quick, you didn't care. You're like, oh, I'm just going to blast through. You can get like 4 or 5 shots with Mega Metal Blade. That might be an overestimation, but 4 or 5 shots with Metal Blade. It killed everything. Very few things resisted it, and it only like dropped a bullet after like a single speck of ammo after 4 or 5 shots, and everything dropped ammo regularly, so it's not like you ever ran out of it. Why even use the Mega Buster?
You had 300 and like I mean, you wouldn't need all 360, but you had literally 180 degree movement on that shot too.
Yeah.
Like it would cover everything.
It was glorious. So
it was broken, very broken and overpowered. Glorious. And like you said, a lot of power ups dropped in this game. Cause I remember from Mega Man 1, like it would be rare when you would get health drops, you know, and I don't even think to your point, they dropped shit that refilled your powers as you went in that game. It's been so long since I played it, but I mean, you really never ran out. I mean, I could even see the little blue, hexagonal, you know, charge things that you would get from Mega Man 2. So, like, to pick up and recharge the powers, they were everywhere.
Yep. So, okay, before we get to our number one, I do want to cover some of our honorable mentions. We've already mentioned Tengen Tetris over regular Tetris. I've already mentioned Dr. Mario, but I think Dr. Mario definitely deserves to be high on this list. Maybe not top 10, but maybe, because I think it's a solid Nintendo refinement of the concept of Tetris, and I'm going to be honest with you. If I'm playing Tetris or I'm playing Dr. Mario, I'm going to be playing Dr. Mario.
Dr. Mario gave you like a story, you know, a little bit. And it gave you, you know, Mario, you know, killing viruses to root for. I mean, how can you not love that?
Well, and I mean, you talk about music. I have like Chill will just pop up in my head at a moment's notice. That game is great.
Like I can still hear it to this day, you know?
Yep. River City Ransom not being in the top 10, I think, is an absolute travesty. Now, I get that if you know what you're doing, that game is short. Speedrunners can beat it in 15 minutes. Fair. Right. Whatever. Fine. How many of us as kids knew what the hell we were doing in that game? That was just a glorious game to explore.
It felt really cool because you would get drops in that game. Like, I remember just trying to get as much cash I could to be able to level up and buy things.
You
like,
felt, you know, so overpowered.
Yeah, it kind of taught you, like, the art of the grind a little bit. Yep. You know, it was a great game.
The blend of, like, Double Dragon fighting and, like, RPG elements were perfect in the game. It even had a sequel that wasn't as good as the original because it went too hard on RPG and lost a lot of that fun flavor. This game was fighting perfection for the NES.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. If you've never played River City Ransom, you know, folks, do yourself a favor. That's a great game.
It's so good. Double Dragon 2 not being on this list, which was the best of the Double Dragon games for the NES. And, like, that's the one that when I'm sitting there going, I want to play some Double Dragon, I pop that one in because that is a hell of a lot of fun.
I played Double Dragon 2 before I played the original Double Dragon as a kid. That's how it worked out when I was over my friend's house. The older brother had, you know, Double Dragon 2. That was the new hotness. So that's what he was playing. And it's just a better game, obviously, because it's going to take what one did and make it a little bit better. But it is just a really good game overall. You know, it comes downloaded pre on, like, you know, a little NES Classic if you buy one. Like, it's on there. Like, it's one of the games that comes with it, but it's not on your list, Nintendo. Weird.
That's weird. That's just weird. You mentioned also the Guardian Legend, which is a fucked up and fun game.
That's another game that's like on acid, man. And I remember like when I first, you know, I'm not, but I first discovered emulators in college is when I actually could beat this game, because like it was so hard to play and it really treated the whole side scrolling shoot 'em up with the ship thing, with like suddenly you would morph into a person, the ship would turn into a backpack and you'd be walking around on the surface and it'd be side scrolling. It was crazy, man. And you had to find little keys to jump into and like, you know, try to like warp places. Like the game was just really fun.
Yeah, it was the best blend of, like, top-down Blaster Master action along with, like, space shooters. And it didn't do well. Like, a lot of people on the NES kind of ignored it. But
it was so hard, that's why.
Well, yeah, but at the same time, it's flippin' cool. Like,
it's a cool game.
It's a cool game.
But it was too hard, and that's why people don't like it. But come on, this is a great game. It should be on there.
It is. I agree. Now, the TMNT games aren't on this list, and I think not having TMNT 2, the arcade game, maybe it's because it's quote-unquote the arcade game, so it was a port, but at the same time, that game was brilliant. That was one of the best, like, belt scrollers, fighting games you were ever going to find. It was brilliant. Yeah.
It gave us Battletoads. Like, that's how good TMNT 2 was. It gave you a whole, like, fighting genre that came out of that. This lasted for years.
Yep, no. And that one, like, that one and then the Super Nintendo one, TMNT 4. TMNT 3 is okay. It's more of TMNT 2. But between those, you had fighting perfection for years with the Turtles. And Konami did it brilliantly between those games. And, like, okay, you don't put TMNT 1 on this list. Okay, that's fair. That's fine. Whatever. Sure. TMNT 2 should be on here because that, I mean, it was so big and it was so good. It changed how Konami made games.
Yeah. So. It's a great movie franchise, too, as a kid. I remember loving it. And it did a really good job with the second one. That should be on here.
And then finally, it doesn't deserve to be on here. It doesn't. But I love to mention my love for the shitty game Swords and Serpents. one of those old dungeon-crawling RPGs. We need more RPGs on this list anyway. I spent hours playing through this game because it was kind of forgiving. Like, yes, it was a dungeon crawler. Yes, the whole point was to get from floor 1 to floor 15 and fight a dragon or something. The serpent. But, like, if you died on a level, you'd go back to the clinic on a previous level, and you'd still have all your experience. I think you'd still have all your gold and all your weapons. All of your guys got revived. It was a very forgiving game in the genre of, like, those old classic 3D view, quote-unquote, RPGs where you just dungeon crawled the whole time. It was good. I enjoyed it. I've seen other people love other ones of this genre better than Swords and Serpents. This was the one I got into.
I can get you that. It sounds like a fun game to play. And I'm going to throw one game out there, too, as well. Because if you notice something else about this list, there's one thing also lacking. I got a nerd in me, sure. But you know what? I also have a jock in me. There is zero. Aside from Punch-Out, whatever, there is zero sport games on here. How could you not put, like, the original Tecmo Bowl on here?
Or even, like, Super Tecmo Bowl. Yeah, no, like, one of those needs to be on here. Like, Tecmo Super Bowl is a refined classic. And, like, okay, you don't want Blades of Steel on here, maybe. You don't want NES World Cup or any of those. Okay, maybe. Although, those are all brilliant sports games, too. But, like, no, Tecmo. You need Tecmo Super Bowl on here. That's the that's what everyone still plays. You can go online and find whole fan groups making new updated rosters for this game, because they'd rather play this than the latest Madden.
Yeah, we just did a thing during the Super Bowl where we did a little playthrough of, you know, doing a modern take, but ran it through using Tecmo Super Bowl. You don't get Madden and you don't get sport games without Tecmo Super Bowl. Like, that game was so much fun as a kid. And if you don't want to put that one on here, okay, fine, whatever. But then you should put the first one on here, because Bo Jackson would kill you and you weren't allowed to use Oakland.
Frickin' Bo Jackson had me banned. Yeah, like, no. And if you're playing as anyone against them, you just had to try and see if you could get him injured as fast as possible.
yeah, that was your only hope. If it was the Raiders, you were done.
I'm knocking him out for the season. Let's go, boys.
Yep.
Okay, so now we're up to the top one, and I unequivocally have no complaint about this. Super Mario Bros. 3 is probably the best game on the NES.
Yeah, I do not see any way you can really argue against that. It, like, historically, it's probably one of the top games of all time, you know, choose your console. Like, it's overall, it's just a great game. It's a great story. It gives you a lot of Mario. It gives you a lot of Luigi. It gives you a lot of all the characters. It really fleshes out story. You get to travel and, you know, save kings that are turned into, like, weird little Goomba-like dudes, like, from the, you know, the Koopalings and everything. It's just a great game. The airship levels were brutal. The hands that would come up and grab you, speedrunners try to get it through. If you get a hand, you got to restart the whole run. Like, the game had a lot of really interesting little pieces in it, and it's just a great game overall. You really can't argue with it being on this list. And at number one, I mean, it probably.
Yeah, no, it's true. Like, it is a game I have played many, many times. Not as a speedrunner, I am not one of those, but even just as a casual player.
Casual, yeah.
I have played this game many, many times, and it's a lot of fun. But it's also this thing where it's like, the entire Mario series is wrapped around this game. Anytime they do another one of these standard side-scrolling style Mario games, it's basically in referencing Mario Bros. 3. You get, like, I played through New Super Mario Bros. Wii at one point, and that game felt like a new version of Super Mario Bros. 3. It did nothing different, slightly different power-ups, but really nothing different. I'm like, well, this is a good version of Mario Bros. 3. It just was.
It gives you the Tanuki suit. I mean, the Tanuki suit was the original power-up that was like, what is this? So, you know, I can fly, and then you got the P-Wing, you know, that gave you infinite flight until you got hit. You know, like, there was just such cool power-ups in this game, and you got to save multiple power-ups, you know, across, like, a bar that had two sides if you knew how to flip it, like, using select or something. Like, it was really, really cool. It was just a great game. It was peak Nintendo, was this game. It's so good.
It's so good. And the Mario series has continued to refine it over time. If it's a 2D game, it's Mario Bros. 3. If it's a 3D game, it's Mario 64. Like, that is it right there. And that's where the series is at. And I love the Mario series, But you pretty much can tell, like, it's one of those two games every time that they're riffing on. And sometimes it gets a little more tired than others. But Mario Brothers 3 stands the test of time. I will go back. Because it's that thing. I will say, well, I've already played this game. It's called Mario Brothers 3. And then I'm sitting going, I'm just going to go play Mario Brothers 3.
Mario Sunshine also, you know, talking about the Mario franchise, has a special place in my heart because that was the first game like I played that my wife and I played together. So that game's a little trippy, the power-ups are weird, but like, you know, Mario is a great franchise overall, and you can't put, you know, weird games like Mario Sunshine on here. I get it, but I mean, we're talking games of the franchise. That one's a little special to me, but I am agreeing with you, it's a pretty terrible game overall.
But Mario Bros. 3 is great. This list overall is fine, but like I would switch out some stuff. But I think there are some contenders on here that I wouldn't argue slightest about being on the list. Castlevania 3, Mega Man 3, Mega Man 2, Super Mario Bros. 3. I mean, it is also a thing where a lot of these are sequels.
Yeah.
Not all of them, but a lot of them are sequels, or even in one case, a remake with Tetris. But I think
there's a reason for that, though. Like, right? You know, the only game on here that's an original version or Contra, Super Mario Brothers, and I guess you could probably say Punch-Out, sure. Yeah. But I mean, to your point, like, the games that were better were the games that were done the second or third time around. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's fine.
Punch-Out being one that you actually had two versions in the arcade before it came to the NES.
True.
Yeah. There's that, and a weird arm wrestling game that's technically part of the series. The Punch-Out's weird. Anyway, this has been Not So Light from Asteroid G, still searching for our Chinooki suit. I swear I put that in my other pants. I'm Mike Finkelstein.
And I'm just going to go blow in the cartridge and see if it still works.
Oh, no, don't, no, the moisture. And we will see you all next time.
I'm not trying to defend the list in a way, but I think the reason you could say it would be higher is just the I had such a thought and then it was gone. It was such a good thought. Come back to me.
You're fine.